Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
All right, yeah, we are rolling. It's episode 7 of Alt Down Under with me, Luke Scanlon, and welcome back, guys. I hope it's been a great week. I myself have had a week that's, just testing my soul, testing my will to keep going on at this rate. Honestly, man, 5 weeks left in Oz, less than 5 weeks in Oz now, and it's like, I need a rest, but because I know I'm leaving, what's the point? Let's just keep going. And we're going to keep going here on Alt Down Under. And this latest episode is an episode I've been waiting to bring you for a very long time. I've had a lot of episodes I've had to get out there. Few time-sensitive interviews around Heaps Good with Foles and Declan McKenna. And a few Aussie artists that I want to bring you. But this one, again, a return to an artist that was over this way on tour. And that is the unique brilliance of Masego. Baby, why you so fine? I thought she was an Indian. Yes, later on in the episode, we will be chatting to that unreal artist. I know I say that a lot about bands on here, but this guy really is in a bracket of his own. He's picked up Grammy nominations for albums. He's toured across the world and just wowed audiences in every corner of the world that he goes to, because his set, honestly, is one of the most eclectic sets that you can see right now. He's got his own brand of trap house jazz, elements of hip-hop and R&B in there as well. I've said before, people on the show that are highly talented, it's quite easy to despise them, isn't it? But this guy does it in such a cool way. But honestly, when you look at what he can do, he can play the sax brilliantly, he can rap a little bit, he can sing superbly well, beautifully soulful voice, he can play the drums, keys, guitar. Honestly, name an instrument, this guy can pick one up. He's just the absolute dude. All whilst picking up about 7.5 million listens per month on Spotify. Honestly, he's just absolutely killing it, and he's the nicest guy ever. So that chat coming up very shortly.
Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes, Alt Down Under.
All right, on to a less talented guy called Luke Scanlon. And about my week, I had a couple of gigs this week in Melbourne Town that were superb. Slightly different vibes at each one, different style artists. First of which being Gengar that I saw up in Brunswick. Ah, these boys, I have listened to them for a long time. They've actually been around for longer than you think, but never seen them live. So I'd always wanted to tick that box and go and see them. Just a real groovy little set, man. Honestly, these guys are just absolute pros at what they do. And yeah, as I say, weird to think that they've been around for like over 10 years now. And frontman Felix Bush, honestly, that guy's vocal range is ridiculously good. And it's just the beauty of live music, isn't it? You go there, you know it's good, and then that just stamp of approval that they can actually cut the mustard. Wow, that's a very English saying. Cut the mustard when you see them live. Just brings real joy, honestly. So good to see them live. And the other band was RMFC that I saw down at the Tote. Great venue in Collingwood. Went and saw those guys. Caught up with a few pals that I hadn't seen in a long time. It was such a good night. It forced me into drinking stuff I didn't really consider drinking for a very long time. Black Sambuca was happening. And surprisingly, on Saturday morning, I avoided the hangover. So maybe that's it. My future lies in Black Sambuca. Because honestly, if I drink like a little bit of shit lager, hangover the next day. Nightmare. But RMFC, these guys are really worth getting on board with. Because let me tell you, man, their sets, probably the second or third time I'd seen them, and their live sets are just the most lively, raw, energetic things I've ever been to. And just crammed in at the Tote, it's just like a proper sticky carpets venue. Rammed in at the Tote, the crowd was so up for it. And it was probably the most I've seen anyone go crowd surfing. My mate Sammy was up there. He was flying around the crowd. I definitely had a foot in the head and a couple of stray elbows about 3 or 4 times. So the headache wasn't actually down to the Sambuca. It was straight elbows and flying limbs coming at me. But honestly, RMFC, they're just such a tight outfit. It's just raw punk and just fun. That is the way to describe it. You just kind of lose sense of everything around you. and all of the worries that you might have had an earlier day just wash away with these guys, because it's just there. They lock you in and just drag you along for the ride. They're just one of the best live bands I've seen in a very long time. So I think I mentioned last time out, do go and check out their album Club Hits. Access in particular is just, oh, if you've got a very good speaker setup or you've got a car, drive along to that and try and stick to the speed rules, because it makes you want to do things very quickly.
Alternative Down Under.
Okay, about time we get into the chat with this episode's featured artist. I mentioned at the top of the show, this guy really is carving out his own unique style. Trap house jazz, hip hop, R&B, all in there. Definitely elements of soul. This guy is just a joy to see live, and even more of a joy to sit down and have a chat with. Feel so lucky to have spoken to this guy. Here is how I got on when I spoke with Masego. All right, Masego. Well, thank you ever so much, mate, for joining us on Alt Down Under. I was laughing when I was doing my research. I always do my research because I'm such a pro. I think your name is the one name that really brings out my English accent. Masego.
Yes.
It sounds like ultra posh.
Like you're in Chelsea area.
Yeah, I've added like a whole like new level of gent to your alter ego, you like your stage performance.
I like this.
So obviously we've both got the thing in common that we've invaded Australia. How are you finding it, mate? How have the live shows been?
Very lively. Like it's like people came out really to enjoy themselves. I didn't have to kind of earn anybody's respect. You know what I mean? It was just like, oh, y'all just want to have fun.
Yeah, man, exactly. Well, I saw you at the Forum in Melbourne. Such a good night, man. Really enjoyed it.
Which night? First night or second night?
That was the first night, the Monday. I saw you on the first night. It was really good fun, man. One thing I did have to ask, though, let's just talk all things Moonwalk for 1 second. Firstly, very impressed you pulled it off, because if I tried that, I would 100% fall over. Love your work. How long have you had to work on that, man? I need to know.
Man, working on the Moonwalk. This might be I just was born with it type of thing. I'm playing the black card.
Fell out the womb, moonwalking. Love it. So I just wanted to say, because I needed you, because you did it on the night, but I need you to do it now. Give your band a shout out, man, because I was honestly blown away with how good they are. Like, please tell us who the boys are, how you met. Let's have a chat about them, because they are as good as you are. They're also very good.
My band, Saks Fifth Avenue. Like, you have Jonathan Curry on drums. You have Seb Mitchell, my music director, doing the keys and the bass and programming. You got Josh and Adrian and Bryant and Elmo and Alex and Lucas. It's a bunch of people behind the scenes that really make that show seem so seamless. But yeah, the band, the three guys on stage with me, Saks Fifth Avenue, man.
Yeah, unbelievable. And Jonathan in particular, mate, it's quite funny because I've done music podcasting now for over 5 years. I've written many articles reviewing gigs and I can't play a freaking thing. So, but the one thing I've always said I wanted to play is the drums. And Jonathan, man, he is one special talent, isn't he?
I'm telling, like, when I first found him in Durham, North Carolina, people used to talk about him like he was like an urban legend. Like, they would whisper his name and like get scared if they see him. Like he's very respected.
That's amazing. Is it like some sort of like cheat code on a game? Yeah, to try and work out the cheat code and find him, track him down.
Kind of. Like you just have to ask anybody that's cool, who's the best drummer in town? They'll just keep pointing you in the direction till you find John. And the thing with John is like, he's a respected boxer. And he teaches everyone gun safety. So like the community just loves him and is also afraid of him. And so it's just like, he's just this guy. I don't know.
That's amazing. I swear some people on planet Earth are just, you're like, how are you so good at everything, man? What's going on?
He's good at a lot of things and he cooks really well.
Oh man, I need to go around Jonathan's house, learn to play drums and he can cook for me.
John is like, everybody loves John.
Okay, let's bring it back to you then, mate. On the night, one thing that really struck me, there was two things that did strike me, sorry, is first of all, I thought you seemed like you were like enjoying yourself so much that it was almost like you were elevated onto some other plane. Is that something that you experienced when you were live? Because it just looked like you were so in the moment and so just like, yeah. You know how you're so in the moment, you're almost not there, if that makes sense.
Pretty much. I think people just pay to watch me do whatever I want to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like watching a museum exhibit. Because it's to the point where it's just me and my friends communicating, you know, on stage in various ways. And then we'll let the audience kind of get in on the inside joke every now and again. But it just kind of became that. That's the spirit of a jam session. It's like a members only, if you know, you know, type of club. And everyone is just wanting to be a part of it so bad.
Definitely, man. And it's interesting you mentioned the jam session element of that, because that was the other thing that struck me on the night. I was like, you got Masego, the recorded artist, but I'd say you're actually quite different live. And that was something that like struck me quite a lot, because it had this fluidity to it that I wasn't necessarily expecting.
I mean, that's jazz music, man. Like, true jazz music is improvisation and kind of showing people you're not just performing your show in front of them. Like, you're very present in the moment. And it's like, if you were at this concert, you got this particular experience. I think that matters over just doing your show and then leaving, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. And with the jazz element, just things having that liquid feeling to them, do you reckon that kind of tie, was that more of a conscious thing that you've had? Because obviously over the last few years, we've had stuff like COVID happen. We've had venues shut down, people coming back to stuff. We need that like sense of connectivity again. Is that like a conscious thing that you're really aware of on stage, that you want to bring, kind of make it real united feeling on the night?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Like, I think of every time that Kendrick comes back out, right? It's like a cultural reset where he's like, hey, by the way, my mic is on. I'm really rapping about things. I'm talking about what we're all feeling. And it makes you say, oh man, I'm present with you right now. So every time I get on stage, I'm trying to remind people like, hey, I actually perform. I'm actually singing. And it's like, let's make this a moment that you want to be a part of, because you'll value it more because you're like, dang, I ain't really had this in a long time.
Yeah, man. Joe, one thing I really enjoyed on the night where you were like, make some noise for my sax. And I was like, I love that, man. That's great. Giving it like personifying the saxophone and like,
it's Thor's hammer, man.
Too true, man. I don't know if this is a weird question, but do you feel some kind of spiritual thing with the sax and with your instruments? Because I've never seen someone actually give a shout out to one instrument on the night, which I was a massive fan of.
I mean, I think about Quincy Jones, right? He said that we're all vessels and you just have to receive whatever is coming down. And if you don't, somebody else will. He would always say, listen, if I don't get this vessel from, you know, that's from Michael, Frank Sinatra's going to take it, you know? And it's kind of that type of thing where it's like, yo, if I don't like basically take all the attention off me and say, yo, these are all instruments and something's coming from somewhere else, then you just start getting worshipped. And it's like, all right, we ain't even trying to get that popping. It's like, yo, the instruments, the vibe, the people, the energy, let's put it on that.
Matt, I'll tell you what, the fluidity in the set is coming into this interview. You mentioned Quincy, which leads me on to my next question. This is beautiful. I wanted to talk about you stylistically, because I think, is it trap as it how do you pigeonhole yourself? I think I read somewhere trap jazz. Is that how you pigeonhole yourself?
That's what other people have said, right? But that's how it goes, though. Whatever way you have to describe my music, I accept it. You know what I mean? Like, these days, it's melodic, it's Masego, it's whatever you want to call it, you know?
I hear a lot of stuff. I hear soul, there's hip-hop in there, there's jazz, as you say. Was there one artist growing up that you listened to that there was that, like, kind of eureka moment where you're like, shit, music makes sense now, that's what? That where there was that little click moment for you?
I mean, probably Cab Calloway. Like, he was from the 1940s and he had the energy, the showmanship. He would wear where he's traveled. He'd have the German slacks with the Parisian ascot, with the Italian silks. Like, he just looked like a well-traveled guy. And his performances were always, he'll talk about some rough topics, like, you know, crack and gold diggers and this kind, you know, but it's like, it's presented in such a beautiful way. It's like, this man is almost family friendly. So if my songs are talking about love and lust and all of this, but there's a through line that keeps it almost family friendly, it's a similar thing. So when I first saw Cab on the internet, I was like, oh, this guy is the one.
Yeah, amazing. And how big a part of your kind of adolescence do you think music played? Because was it like instantly when you discovered artists like that, did you know that that was the path you were going to go down?
Yeah, because I feel like with music, you're kind of either chosen for it or you're forcing yourself to be chosen for it. Like, if I didn't want to make music, I'm going to annoy people with the music that happens in my daily life. I'm going to be singing or freestyling or tapping on something. So it's like you're either for it or not. And since like age 3, I'm hitting on things.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. And then just more present day, from age 3 to you now and your career so far, releasing wise, I think you've been around probably longer than a lot of people realize. I think that's fair to say.
I'm 74 years old.
And I need to get your skincare routine, man, because you look fucking great. But I was gonna say, if you look through your discography, man, there's so many different collabs on there. There's obviously your own tracks as well. How important do you think that is to collaborate with other artists? Because I can imagine it brings a lot to your own repertoire and your own skill set when you do these team ups with people.
Yeah, I think it's cool because everybody has their own like world and like tribe of fans and all that. And I think everyone's doing what they do the best. So I'm like, I want to combine what I'm doing with what they're doing and make something new. I think that's how you blend genres.
Yeah, for sure, man. Amazing. Amazing. Well, thanks ever so much for that, man. If you're ready, we'll get into the dream gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Fuck, I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
Let's get into it. All right, first off, this is quite a hard one. What is going to be the name of your dream gig venue, Masego? What are you going for?
Here it is. That's what it's called. It's called Here It Is.
All right. I was going to put a little drum roll in there, being like, go on, what is it?
Nope.
That's great. Here It Is. Is that just to mess with people's minds?
I feel like we're already experiencing something when you see the name.
That's great. All right, okay. This one always interests me with, because different artists go for different things. What is your kind of ideal capacity, do you think? Do you like the intimate, sweaty shows, or would you like a bit of a bigger venue?
Maybe like Village Underground. Give me like a 1500.
Yeah, mate. How cool is that venue, by the way?
Very nice venue.
Yeah. Anyone that doesn't know, it's in London. It's in like an old railway arch under the bridge. And it's just like, you wouldn't ever know it was there, would you?
No, it's like tucked.
Yeah, man. How many shows did you do there? Was it just a one-off or?
I feel like I've been there at least twice. I might have opened up for Goldlink back in the day and then I did my own.
Yeah, unbelievable, man. One thing I will say there, though, really expensive beer. Nearly blew my mind, man, honestly.
Oh, damn.
If you want to save money, don't go to Village Underground.
You heard it here first. This man knows.
But I would recommend it for the venue because it is incredible. Okay, up next, dress code. What are you picking for the venue?
You have to wear sandals. You know how many places I've gone and they've denied access because I'm wearing sandals? We flipping it. You need to wear sandals now.
Any particular style or brand that you're a fan of?
I just want toes.
Okay, you just want a whole load of toes. All right, mate, you're the second artist I've spoken to that said, bring on the sandals.
There we go.
I was like, you can't be standing on people's feet, man. No, that'd be quite painful.
Different type of day.
Very much a different type of day. Okay, that brings us on to the next thing. Two very important things. The free drink you're going to have on tap and the free bit of food. What's everyone eating?
I feel like we're going to have like a variety of fruit platter. You know what I mean? Let me get that popping. Variety fruit platter.
This has got pure like beach vibes, man. We've got sandals, fruit platter going on.
And then on tap, we got to have this Brazilian drink called caipirinha.
Oh, how good are they, man?
It'll take you there.
They are lethal though, aren't they?
Oh, it'll sneak up on you.
Yo, it gets you.
it'll sneak up on you.
Is that your go-to thing? on a night out, you go for the Caipirinhas?
I mean, I'm trying to find the closest to that if I'm going out, you know, because my drummer, he's going to do the old-fashioned thing and get all dark liquored up. But me, myself, give me something that's called like something like a porn star. Give me something that looks like, you know what I mean? Give me something light.
Yeah, to really show what your personality is. Not that I think you're a porn star. Up next, we'll go on to support acts. This can be anyone. This could be dead or alive, your dream, favorite artist, whatever you want to go for, man.
Ooh, it's this group called 20SYL. And they have this other group. It's him. He's the main guy. And he had this group of three dudes. And they would DJ. And each of them would have like an LED on their stations of what instrument they would be responsible for. So they're DJing, but only drums on him, or only vinyl scratches, or only guitar samples. And they were sick. But yeah, 20SYL.
That's unreal, man. That sounds great. Cool. Okay. And finally, we have, again, this can be anyone. This can be your mate that you went to school with, whoever. Who's doing the security on the front door?
Ooh. Who's doing security at the front door? Who's the best security guard that I've had? Probably Suge Knight.
I just really love you did the full like chin grab and look into the distance then. That was great. You're like, that is it. Whoa. That is the dream gig venue. Here it is. What a place.
Here it is.
it's all fruit platters and caipirinhas, man. It's great. And sandals.
I'm having a good time already.
Exactly. Mate, I really appreciate your time. Just one last thing. What can people expect from Sego in the next sort of year? What's in the pipeline, man? Anything you can tell us?
Hopefully muscles. I've been working out every day for a month. So something better happen.
You better buy a new jacket, man. I can tell. The seams are bursting, brother.
You know, I'm like, it better be muscles. I'm getting my money back.
Sweet. If I don't see you a ripped picture of you on Instagram, I'll know something's gone wrong. All right? That's a pinky promise. We've got to do that right now.
Check.
Thanks ever so much, man.
Okay. Good questions too. Respect to you.
Alt Down Under. Is he or is he not one of the coolest dudes out there? Honestly, his voice, just even his speaking voice, I'm just like, I just want to be your friend, if that's all right. But yeah, I definitely do not qualify as someone cool enough to be friends with Masego. Thank you ever so much to Masego for chatting to me. And just, a lovely, lovely chat there. Just some of the takeaways from that. As I mentioned in the interview, his drummer, Jonathan Curry, not only is he one of the best drummers I've ever seen, he's a boxer and helps out with gun safety. There's no one in the world that can claim to be proficient in any of one of those three, let alone all three of them at once. It's amazing. The love that Masego has for his band, it's just really refreshing. And I just love that you have that joy. I think a lot of times when you go see a band, particularly when you go and see like a more of an alternative post-punk band, the whole vibe is a bit kind of distant and a bit like they're trying to cut the whole mysterious cool figure. When sometimes you're like, do you know what? Just look like you're having a good time. And 9 times out of 10, the audience will get right behind you. And it's that real fluidity of his set that I mentioned there. The whole jazz side of Masego's set and him just wanting to be there and be present. Not being present is something we're all probably guilty of in this day and age. Honestly, just our phones, shit we're worrying about with what we're up to, what's going on in the future, rather than just honing in on the present. And for him to be able to do that within, say, what, an hour and a half set, is just a real magical thing and an amazing skill as well. A lot of artists obviously do it, but I think the fact that he's so aware of it is just such a nice thing to hear from an artist. And an artist who refers to his sax as Thor's hammer. Gotta love him.
Alt Down Under.
All right, I'll be back next time with a chat with an Aussie band here on Alt Down Under. We'll be chatting to the boys creating lovely, silky, smooth indie pop tunes. It'll be my chat with the Vans. In the meantime, hit us up, give us a like, subscribe, follow, tell your mates about us. Thanks once again for listening. And yes, see you next week.
Alternative Down Under.